This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Replaying some of the more listened to segments from the week on our website, podcast, and YouTube channel. Starting off with Axel Merck, Chief Investment Officer at Merck Investments. This was posted on Thursday. We're talking about a precious metals fund that Axel manages that has an activist investor trying to take it over. This is a much longer interview than we're able to play on the radio, but here is a little excerpt for you to all get a flavor of what we chatted about. I hope you enjoy. We have some important information to talk about when it comes to a precious metals fund that Axel and Merck Investments help manage. We're also going to tie that into comments on more investor interest that Axel is seeing in precious metals, especially down into the precious metals equities. Axel is the president and CIO of Merck Investments, which specializes in investment strategies for gold, gold equities, and stagflation. Now, this ASA fund that Axel and his team help manage is about a $370 million U.S. fund. You can find it traded on the NYSE under that symbol ASA. Axel, you shared with us that there's a contested takeover coming for this closed-ended fund, and there is a very important vote coming up next Friday, April 26th. Give us a little background on what's happening within this ASA fund, please.
Yes, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you again. ASA is what is called a closed-end fund. It was launched in 1958 in South Africa, of all places, because it was not possible to invest in gold in those days in the U.S. So it was launched down there. It was reincorporated in Bermuda in 2004. It is, since 1958, trading as a closed-end fund on the New York Stock Exchange, and it's been investing in mining companies. When Merck Investments, that's our team, took on the management in 2019, we repositioned this fund into the junior mining space, and it exhibits the hallmarks of what you can do in this space, which we think is it's a very volatile space, but it has some amazing opportunities in it. And what these closed-end funds do is they often trade at a discount, meaning there's a net asset value, and then there's a trading price, which is dictated by supply and demand. And these closed-end funds are prone to these attacks by activists. And what that is these activists, they want to, quote-unquote, capture the discount, meaning if you trade at a 10-15% discount, they think they can get a pop in price. It's much more easily said than done because the tools available don't really work for ASA. Also, to the extent these tools are used, they work very briefly and typically only help the activists, leaving the remaining shareholders with big expenses. But in the context of the junior mining space, as you and many of your listeners probably know, you can't just trade this stuff in and out. These are highly illiquid securities, and even the signaling of a sale of these securities to create liquidity to pay out an activist could create a run on some of these stocks.
Yeah, Axel, that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about it. If some of these very thinly traded juniors all of a sudden had all the selling liquidity show up, it would wreak havoc in the market. We see that even when something like the SILJ just does a rebalance. So you can imagine the impact it would have, especially when the volumes are so low in many of these juniors. But they are picking up, and gold and silver have popped up, and so have some of the mining stocks. How are you reading the lay of the land in the gold and silver equities in lieu of all this and the interest that you're seeing from investors?
Sure. Well, first, in general, and then maybe specific to our fund, in general, what tends to happen when the price of gold moves higher, the money tends to first and move into the producers, the large cap companies, the ETF flow on the passive side. And then it takes a little while before that money goes into the junior companies. That said, if you look at 2019, 2020, 2021, the juniors in particular can substantially outperform. Now, the flip side of that is in the higher for longer environment that we saw, where access to funding is more difficult. And remember, these junior companies, exploration and development companies that need to have periodic access to funding. And that's indeed what we do at ASA is we help provide this funding to help institutionalize these assets. And as they move up the value chain, so to speak, there is, at least historically, a disproportionate value gain. And so that's one of the key things we're trying to capture. Often we get warrants when we participate in these funding rounds. They're not available to retail investors. And so ever since Powell shifted away from higher for longer, even though the Fed hasn't cut rates, that junior space has slowly come to life. Now, clearly, entire mining space hasn't performed as well given the price of gold as we would have liked, but those dynamics are slowly, slowly playing out. And then on ASA specifically, you mentioned the low liquidity. We are able at times to trade these less liquid stocks, but we do it when we do it. Either we buy substantial stakes in these funding rounds, but when we need to sell, we do it typically between filings. So we can be in the dark, right? It's very different if an activist comes in and says, hey, we're going to liquidate this portfolio, which is, by the way, what we think will ultimately happen should this activist gain control, because they will look at the options that they typically do and will realize that they're not realistic. But even that, right, you announce a liquidation, and guess what? Then people will sell those things before the fund can. So it could be a very detrimental and expensive endeavor. And if any shareholder is listening, don't just listen, please vote. These activists are counting on retail shareholders being asleep at the wheel, and please don't be one of those.
Axel, please let us know if there's anything else we can do to help with this vote. But let's also talk about that funding environment for juniors, because it has been very difficult for juniors to raise money. We currently are in a bit of a financing window. However, small financings, $2, $3 million, that's more or less lights on money. Companies can't do a whole lot with that money in terms of advancing work programs. Have you seen more interest in any certain types of these junior equities when it comes to raising money?
Well, what we do is we focus mostly on the management team. So there are certain management teams that have a proven track record, and the best of their projects, they tend to be able to get access to funding, but everybody else is still very, very difficult. So it has improved. We have participated in some deals, but it is still a tough environment. But it's gotten a tad easier, but it's not like there's money flooding into the space. As far as the investor's interest is concerned, that is certainly picking up. Now, maybe I'm a bit biased because obviously we have stepped up our speaking as well and our engagement, so that may have helped to gain interest. By the way, we're not offering any shares. This is a closed-end fund, so we're not continuously offering shares, but we do see when interest is picking up in the space. We do have an open product where we do see inflows. So investor interest is picking up, but it is not the sort of quote-unquote gold rush you might expect when the price of gold is near an all-time high.
Axel, just a question for you, because you brought up passive investing, and when you think about maybe 15, 20 years ago, there weren't all these different ETFs, there weren't as many funds, there weren't as many options, and there also wasn't the distraction of crypto and meme stocks and everything else. Do you think the landscape has fundamentally changed for investing in junior miners? Because they used to be the go-to place for that hot money to speculate, and now there's just so many other options fragmenting the market.
The way I look at it is there are a few major groups of investors. There's the investor concerned about the purchasing power of the dollar. There's the investor looking for diversification. There's the foreign central bank. And then there's the speculator. And I mention it in that order because the speculator loves good meme stock, loves the Mag 7, and they will like gold or gold mining when there's a good trend behind it. But you're absolutely right. Those investors are currently looking elsewhere. I don't think they will hesitate to come back if there's a major rally. I somewhat like it because it takes a bit of the edge of volatility in that space. I'm not going to suggest that the volatility is going to be permanently lower, but we do see the volatility, at least in recent years, be a tad less because of those alternatives.
Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment on the radio. Again, you can hear that full interview posted on Thursday. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back. We'll be right back.
you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
We are back, this time with an interview from Wednesday with Mike Larson, more of a generalist guest for us. He usually joins us on the weekend show, but we released this interview early on Wednesday, talking about everything from rate cut expectations, rotation of money into commodities, as well as diving into some of the commodity sectors that have been doing well. I hope you all enjoy this interview, and again, you can listen to the full interview on our website, podcast, and YouTube channel. This was posted on Wednesday. We're chatting with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. Mike, like I said, we've seen a bit of weakness starting off Q4, especially in terms of the broad averages. What's your takeaway from this? Is this a natural correction? Is this something more to be concerned about?
Well, you know, I think this is kind of a continuation of that rotation that you're seeing out of the winners that we've had, right, for so long, the whole Mag 7 technology-only type environment, to something that's broader, to something that's more focused on kind of almost has a little bit of a whiff of reflation in the air when you look at what's been doing well. And I think that that's a little bit of what's going on, part of it. Of course, also is geopolitics. I mean, you know, when you've got missiles flying in the Middle East, and people concerned about what, you know, Israel might do in response to that and so on. That's got people, I think, just taking risk off the table after a fantastic Q1. I mean, you look at what happened in the first quarter. Again, the S&P had its best run since 2019, best start to the year. You had, you know, multiple sectors and stocks were up 10% plus in a pretty short period of time. So I think that, you know, what you're seeing now in Q2 is digestion. Digestion with a little bit of a sprinkling of rotation on top. And some of the more cyclically oriented and cycle type, you know, oriented people that, or technically oriented, excuse me, people that I've spoken with that are in kind of our Money Show rotation and talked to in Miami last week, it really did say, you know, suggested April and May are probably going to be a little rough here. You're going through this period where it's better to wait it out versus get real aggressive. But in general, the consensus seemed to be, you know, it's nothing more than that sort of digestion, rotation, consolidation versus one of those, the primary trend is changing kind of environments.
Well, Mike, in addition to digestion and rotation and looking at things, you know, the consolidation of the markets, is it also a reality check that there's not going to be 7 rate cuts this year and that there may only be 1 or 2 or maybe none, that we may have a 0 rate cut environment this year? Is that weighing on the markets at all?
Yeah, I think you're right on target there. I mean, obviously, Jay Powell spoke this week and kind of confirmed the messaging that was being heard about from other Fed speakers that, look, you know, we may want to cut. We may think it's probably the right thing to do, but, you know, we're not seeing enough that gives us the ability to do so at this point. So we're just going to keep sitting on our hands. So, you know, obviously, we've talked about it before. I mean, the market was looking for 6, almost 7 rate cuts if you looked at the futures market pricing in at the start of the year, and that's basically depriced to 1 or, like you said, possibly 2, and the start of that process has been pushed out further in 24. So, you know, you roll that all in together, and I don't think, again, I don't personally think it has to be anything catastrophic. I don't think it has to be anything too worrisome. I think it's good if you see money rotate out of those old leaders and start to find new homes in a broader participatory type environment. But, you know, anytime you see that, if everybody's got to get out of, you know, and laying up on some of all these big mega positions in mega cap tech, that's going to take some steam out of the market, and that's what we're seeing.
So since we're talking rates then, Mike, how high can rates go in your eyes? We recently saw the 2-year pretty much touch 5%. We saw the 10-year just recently up at 4.7. Are we close to the peak in rates then market-wise, or do you think they still could go higher?
Look, I think a lot of it's going to have to depend on, you know, if we go from not just no rate cuts to whispers, you know, the H word again and hikes and so on. I just don't see that happening. I really don't think the Fed's going to switch from, you know, one end of the spectrum to the other. I was having a conversation earlier today here, and, you know, my point was I think the hurdle for the Fed to start hiking again is much higher than the hurdle for them to start cutting a little bit. I mean, in other words, you know, it would take some really bad news on the inflation and other fronts to get them to not just not cut, but start hiking, whereas it could take only slightly better news on the inflation front for them to start at least cutting once or twice, in my opinion.
How much is the Japanese yen and what's going on in Japan, which has always been a carry trade, the yen, but the weak yen, how much is that causing them to sell U.S. treasuries? We've seen a number of articles about that. We've even had some friends of the show mention that what's going on in Japan is causing treasuries to be sold, which is what's driving the rates up.
It's so hard to know. That sort of boogeyman trade, the yen carry trade, I mean, gosh, that's popped up. I mean, I've been in this business for a quarter century or so, and it's one of those things that just kind of pops up from time to time, not very often, but it's one of those, okay, how much of this is going on, and what does it mean for treasuries? What does it mean for risk, more broadly speaking, and so on? I don't think it's the big driver here. I think, again, it really just boils down to why would that be happening? Well, because their central bank is still being very unaggressive, whereas our central bank and other central banks have gotten very aggressive in the last few years. They've hardly played catch up at all. So that's, you know, leads to big yield divergences and, you know, money falling from one currency to the other. I wouldn't freak out about it too much unless we really started to see this thing spiking. I think a lot more of what's going on is simply geopolitics sprinkled on top of that rotation, sprinkled on top of the fact that you have, you know, you have big tech that a lot of fund managers still have overweighted in, and they're now kind of eyeing the exits and looking to get out of that, or at least dial it back and look to get into newer things. And that's part of the reason why, on the flip side, if you're bullish commodities and you have been bullish metals and so on, you're loving this, because this is what, you know, I think we've talked about expecting for a while. And you know, Godot finally showed up, and that's what's happening in that part of the market.
Yeah, it's almost right now like the perfect storm for some commodities, especially with the geopolitics. And also, look, central banks still looking to cut rates, but just pushing those back and further off later this year. What commodities are you focused on? And even driving further down, what about the equities underlying those commodities? Which ones in your eyes have still the best upside ahead of them?
Well, what happened on Friday is kind of interesting in gold. I think we might have hit a short-term exhaustion point where we had that, you know, big rally on fears of what would happen the weekend, made a new intraday high, then kind of flopped into the close and pulled back a little bit, tried to bounce again. We're sort of just sitting around that 2400-ish level for gold. In the short term, that, you know, that may just signify a little bit of exhaustion there. So, you know, from a trading standpoint, if you are on a short-term time frame, you might expect some chops, some pullbacks, some consolidation in gold. But longer term, I still think the precious metals, I still think gold has an extremely powerful bull case for it. I would be surprised if this run doesn't at least get us to the high twos over the next few months in terms of gold pricing. Silver and copper, I mean, are interesting. You've seen, obviously, a pretty big breakout. Silver finally playing catch-up, as well as copper being very strong. And I think that speaks to, again, a decent, you know, economic, you know, news going from bad to decent, or at least, you know, not getting worse in places like China and so on overseas. The growth outlook here in the U.S. picking up, as opposed to having, you know, a harder landing and so on. So I think the economically sensitive type parts of the metals market look good. And I was having a conversation with someone else, just highlighting, look, in copper too, you've got that sort of kicker of it being, you know, involved in this energy transition, this, you know, being a little bit sort of a stealth play on what's happening with renewables and energy transmission and so on, or transition. So that's kind of something that benefits copper versus, say, some of the other base metals. So I think that's probably where you've got that's how I would break it down. Copper, silver is still promising. You know, gold maybe consolidates a little here in the very short term, but, you know, on a longer term basis, I think it's headed to the high twos.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
USA News Update. Six alternate jurors have been selected for former President Trump's hush money trial, joining the already established panel of 12 jurors. Opening arguments are set to begin on Monday. The U.S. is blocking the United Nations from approving a Palestinian request for full membership status by using its veto in the Security Council.
The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the Council.
The U.K. and Switzerland abstained from Thursday's vote, while the remaining 12 members voted yes. U.S. President Biden is mobilizing union workers to support his bid for re-election. Speaking at a conference of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Washington, D.C. Friday, the president highlighted how his bipartisan infrastructure legislation is fostering the creation of new unionized positions, proudly dubbing himself the most pro-union president in American history. John Schaefer, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Now switching the second hour's focus over to a couple company updates from this week, starting with Contango Ore. This company is in an interesting position in Alaska where they have an interest in a asset that is being brought into production by Kinross using the Fort Knox Mill, which is owned by Kinross. We brought on Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse to discuss where the development is on that asset. This interview went live on Tuesday. I hope you all enjoy and find this one interesting. Getting an update from Contango Ore. We're going to be getting more of a, I guess, development update at the Manh Choh property in Alaska and answering a number of questions that all of you have sent in, all with the focus on when the company could very well start receiving some initial revenues from this Manh Choh project that is a partnership with Kinross. Contango Ore owns 30% non-operating partner. Well, Kinross is the 70% owner here. We are chatting with Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, president and CEO of Contango Ore. Contango Ore is traded on the NYSE American under the symbol CTGO. Now, Rick, let's start off. First and foremost, development update. It's been a couple months, actually quite a while since I had you back on the show. Talk to us about the stage of development at Manh Choh and what the timeline is, what the guidance is towards some production here, please.
You bet, Corey. Good to be on the show again. As you know, we've been mining at Manh Choh since late August, actually, is when we had the commemorative opening. So we've been mining and stockpiling since then, high-grade ore. Manh Choh averages 8 grams per ton, so very good for an open pit, very good grade for an open pit gold mine. In November, we started transporting that ore to the Fort Knox Mill with a small fleet, and then we've been building the transportation fleet as we've received more trucks and trailers. Right now, today, we're transporting, I believe it's about 40 trucks and trailers are making the haul between Manh Choh and the Fort Knox stockpile site. They transport about 50 tons of ore at a time, so you can do some math and, you know, see that we'll be continuing to ramp up the stockpile. I think the last time I checked, there was about a little over 100,000 tons on the stockpile at Fort Knox. And we want to build the stockpile up to a little over 200,000 tons, which should be by July, and that'll be when we'll have run our first batch of ore through the Fort Knox mill and produce gold and get cash flow. So very exciting, you know, next 3 months here as we as Kinross, and I give all the credit to Kinross here for completing all the mill modifications that that need to take place in advance of producing gold. And I always stop and say that, you know, that we refer to them as mill modifications, but there actually isn't any modifications to the mills specifically. Either the SAG mill or the ball mills at Fort Knox, there's no change at all there. The mill modifications that they were referring to are a result of the much higher grade value of the Manh Choh ore, which is 8 grams per ton, versus the typical mill ore at Fort Knox, which is between 0.7 and 0.8 grams per ton, so a tenfold difference. That means we need to add more cyanides. We need to have more capacity to add the cyanide. We therefore need a bigger cyanide destruct circuit, more lime, more cement to balance solution pHs, and then more carbon to attract the carbon in the CIP circuit, the carbon in pulp circuit. Since you have more carbon, you need a bigger elution circuit to extract the carbon, the gold off of the carbon onto the steel wool, and then you need a bigger furnace to melt the steel wool and produce all the gold. So those are all the changes to the mill itself that is occurring at Fort Knox. I was just out there a couple of weeks ago now, I guess close to 3 weeks ago, and seeing all the progress there. They'll start commissioning all the various circuits here in the month of May. And they'll be ready to pour gold in July. So, again, very, very exciting time for us.
Well, Rick, just to that point, with all the work that Kinross is doing at the mill site to do some of those back end on the production side and the processing side, I think this is a huge advantage that you have as Contango. And it may not be as obvious to people at first glance, but when you think about a lot of other companies trying to do this either on their own, build everything from scratch, and or just do a simple toll milling agreement, it's a little different in that Kinross is your legitimate partner here. They're invested in this process, and it's at a mill that they already run. So maybe just speak to the advantage that gives you as a company and kind of the unique catbird seat that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit unique. I kind of refer to it as a hybrid royalty model in that we, you know, we have less than a dozen people who work for the company. They're all experts in their field, geologists, metallurgists, engineers. So, you oversee what's going on, but the fact that Kinross, you know, has the Fort Knox mill, it's been operating for 30 years, they know the mill inside out. They know what it can do. They know what it can't do, and therefore they know what you need to modify to make it optimal for extracting the ores out of Manh Choh. And so it's a huge advantage over saying we're going to go do this ourselves. And we were talking earlier about just simply ordering 777 trucks for the mine site itself. You know, with supply chain issues, as a small new startup company, you call up Cat and say, you know, hey, we need a dozen 777s. And they say, well, we'll put you on the list and you can have those in 4 years from now. Whereas when you have Kinross at your back and they have a long relationship with Kiewit, one of the largest contract mining companies in the world, they get the 777s right away. So that's a very specific example, but one that sort of characterizes the relationship with having a partner like a Kinross. The very fact that the mill's been operating a long time also, you know, just speaks to the fact that, you know, you don't have this sort of the typical mill startup issues that a lot of mills do. And the fact that we've been mining for, going on 9 months here now, we've got a big, you know, nice big stockpile at Manh Choh. So we just have to transport it and get it up to site, which we've been doing since November of last year. And, you know, as we ramp up the transportation aspect of the project, I think currently we have about 40 trucks transporting ore. up to site, around 50 tons a truckload, and we'll get that up to 60 in the next couple of months here. So then we'll be sort of on step, if you will, and continuing to continue to build the stockpile at Fort Knox. As I said, in July we'll plan our first batch, and then the next batch will be sort of 3 months later. We'll plan to run a batch for about a 1 month time period every quarter going forward from here.
So last year was so important for the company because of this relationship where your 30% interest in the Manh Choh project, you needed to come up with that development capital to retain your 30% non-operating partner status here. You managed to raise all that money last year in what was a tough market. But again, it's a very easy adjustment for, I think, investors to see that you raise that money and you put it into that development that Kinross is leading. Any other large capital costs that the company is responsible for before you potentially start cash flowing from this asset?
No, we've got, we're spending, you know, in the neighborhood of $5 million a month in what I call working capital, basically to do the mining at Manh Choh and then the transport up to the Fort Knox mill. And so we, as you said, you know, we raised the capital last year to put in our money, and then of course the bank loan money. We have a $70 million line of credit from ING and Macquarie. Of course, they want us to spend our money first, and then they'll put their money in. So we're in the last few months here. We'll be, you know, continuing to borrow some money from ING and Macquarie, and that should be all the money we need to get into production. And I think we'll have a pretty decent cushion there. So, you know, if for some reason things would take longer, we've got more cash to be able to draw on there than, you know, you always want to have more than less. So I think we're in a good solid position there. But, as I said, I was just out to site and, everything I think is lining up to produce gold in July. So, we've made the April cash call, payment, so we've got May, June left.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made in America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, till one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now. To get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Welcome back. Final segment of the weekend edition of the KE Report. This is a replay from Thursday, an update with Kennerland Minerals. This is a company that works with a lot of large mining companies as their exploration partner. I brought Zach Flood on, president and CEO, to discuss the work programs ongoing, the money that's being spent by these major companies for a more comprehensive update. We covered a lot here. I hope you get a lot out of this interview, and thank you all for listening to this weekend show. Please keep in touch on the companies and guests that I feature on a regular basis. Kennerland Minerals is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol KLD, on the OTCQX under the symbol KLDCF. Chatting with Zach Flood, CEO and President of Kennerland Minerals. Now, Zach, this is all coming from a news release earlier this week, April 17th, the 2024 exploration update. There are 13 project updates. We're not going to be able to get to all of them, so I will link to that news release. The second paragraph, though, I think is critical to understand. It breaks down just how much money is being spent on the projects that Kennerland holds and how many is being spent and funded by exploration partners. Zach, take us through these numbers, please.
Sure thing. Yeah, so there's about $24 million being spent across the portfolio this year. $19 million of that is from third parties, so that's either deals that we have under earn-in or that we've optioned out on a 100% basis and hold equity in the company and our royalty. So that's in line with the last few years. You know, we've been managing about 25 to 30 million dollars year over year, you know, going back to probably 2022, 23, and now 2024. So yeah, it's a large budget, pretty steady, spread out across a number of projects, really focusing again on greenfields exploration and target generation there.
And some of the partners include well-known larger companies, Newmont, Sumitomo, and Centerra, just to name a few. The company's also expecting some revenue this year from management fees, cash payments, as well as potentially some other revenue sources. Can you take us through how much cash the company might be generating this year?
Yeah, we've forecasted about $3.5 million cash inflow, which is, again, in line with the last few years. Typically, you know, our goal is to try to offset our G&A. G&A is about $3.8 million this year. We've got about $3.5 coming in. So, again, that's the benefit of the model. It's an extremely capital efficient business for exploration.
All right, let's talk about, at least high level, some of the larger work programs that have either just been completed or going to be starting up here soon. Zach, take us through some of, again, those larger programs on some of the projects.
Yeah, the big one completed this winter was on the ProTep project, where Kenderland holds a 4% net smelter royalty. That's a big royalty. It's a big gold discovery. Sumitomo Metal Mining owns the project 100%, and Kenderland is still the operator there. We just completed a 18,500-meter diamond drill program in the first quarter, so we'll be seeing lots of results out from that over the coming months. A lot of that drilling was infill and step out, you know, as we track towards hopefully a maiden resource by next year at some point. So again, yeah, this is the Renault Gold Discovery on the ProTep project in northern Quebec, where Kenderland holds a 4% net smelter return royalty.
What about some of the other projects that were highlighted here, like Shibistouan or Sullivan, some of the recent results?
Yeah, so there's, you know, some positive and less so positive news. Shibistouan, we drilled a new discovery there in 2023, so we hit about 157 meters at 0.4 grams per ton gold in a intrusion related gold system that had no previous drilling and no mineral occurrences associated with it. We had hoped to have a follow-up drill program in the first quarter of this year. That was delayed due to just the approval process with Newmont. So hopefully we'll see a follow-up drill program in the first half of next year. And then the O'Sullivan project, we did complete a maiden diamond drill program there, five holes for a total of 3,800 meters. We did hit a vein that had strong visible gold in it, and one of the holes returned, you know, 0.3 meters at almost 60 grams per ton gold. So that was exciting, but a lot of the other holes didn't really hit any notable mineralization. We hit a lot of alteration, hematite silica alteration. So yeah, first pass maiden drill program, did find some gold, wasn't a home run. So we're working with Sumitomo to see what the next plan is there. But yeah, a lot of the rest of the projects in the portfolio are earlier stage than this. We're getting to the point where we can define drill targets, such as the Opinaca project that we have, that we've ended to Targa. We hold a 3% net smelter return royalty on that, and we're the operator, and there's a really large scale gold and till anomaly that we'll be following up on this summer, hopefully leading to drill targets that will be tested or potentially could be tested in the following year. That's in northern Quebec. Also South Uchi that we own, we own 100% interest in that project in the Red Lake district. So there's a very large scale gold and till anomaly that we're doing intensive surface work on this summer, again, to define drill targets for testing, you know, potentially in 2025 as well. And then we've got a number of other projects in the portfolio that we're doing the first pass, you know, regional large-scale geochemical surveys on in Ontario and Manitoba as well, so covering a number of greenstone belts. I think that there's probably 400,000 hectares of greenstone that we're going to be screening for the first time there, so I'd expect, you know, some targets to appear from that work as well. So it's a full plate, you know. We're moving the project pipeline forward, you know, as any good exploration company should do. You know, as these things lead towards the maiden diamond drill program, you know, there's targets that are going to be tested that are going to result in you know, more so technical successes, and you know, eventually, hopefully, what we're looking for is another big economic success, like the one that I believe is taking shape on the ProTep project at Renault there.
I also want to get a couple updates from projects in Quebec. The Jacobi project, this is under joint venture with Sumitomo. The Hunter project, this is under an earn-in agreement with a subsidiary of Centerra. Both of these had some sonic overburden drill for till programs recently completed. Can you explain what these type of programs are and what they lead to in terms of future drilling?
Yeah, you could think of the sonic programs just like any other geochemical survey. So we're collecting surficial material for geochemical analysis. It is beneath lake sediments, which is basically a big layer of mud across the central and southern Abitibi greenstone belt. And you can't you can't sample that from the surface, because it's transported material from, you know, lakes. It's not like, the source of that material is not proximal to the bedrock, such as the till, which is beneath that. So you do have to bring in a sonic drill and push through the lake seds and then sample the till beneath. But effectively, it's just another geochemical survey. And these are getting into their, you know, second and third passes as we hone in on target areas. And I'd expect drill targets to be defined by the end of this year. And we'll see if we get the, you know, support from the companies to drill these things in 2025 as well.
Okay. I guess one of the big picture questions that I know a lot of investors are wondering, what are some of the next projects in line for JVs or earn-in agreements that you think could reasonably come? I'm not going to make you put a timeline on it, but what are some of the ones that have now advanced at least close enough to where you could have some interest coming in from other companies?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, we're bringing projects a little further down the exploration pathway before entertaining deals on them these days. So things like South Uchi, where we're getting to drill target stage, kind of de-risking it a bit more, I'd expect, you know, there is a lot of interest on that project, but I'd expect there could be a deal done on that in the next year or so. The Tanacross project as well, we have a drill-ready, multiple drill-ready targets in Alaska on the Porphyry Copper project up there. So again, looking to bring in a partner on that as well. Yeah, some of the other projects are a little earlier stage, so we're comfortable with advancing these on a sole funded basis, just to see what we can turn up on those first pass programs. But yeah, it's all in play. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of different commodities and jurisdictions and different stage projects, and you know, there's a lot of other companies out there that are looking to grow their portfolios and hopefully, you know, be a little more aggressive on the exploration side as well and drill some greenfield targets.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.